listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today in studio, Dave Eisenstatter, editor of the Valley Advocate, and on the line, Larry Parnas, investigations editor for the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Hey, thanks, Adam.
This week, several more pieces of art from the Berkshire Museum's collection were sold at auction. Included was Norman Rockwell's Blacksmith's Boy, Heel and Toe.
And I'm selling the lot now for $7 million. Your bid at $7 million.
And once fees were figured in, the final sale price was just more than $8 million. Over the last 2 weeks, the museum auctioned off 11 works for nearly $15 million, counting those fees. But several works sold for less than their listed value. Two didn't sell at all, although one was later sold privately. Of course, all of this is part of a controversial plan for the museum to renovate and shore up its finances. Larry, the museum still appears to be short of its $55 million goal. Any surprise there?
Boy, You know, they had warned when they were fighting against the idea of postponing the auctions last November that the art markets are kind of fickle. It's hard to know whether 6 months makes that big a difference in terms of values. There were a lot of other Rockwells for sale this past week, so that could be a factor. And it could also be possible that protests by opponents of the sales had a dimming effect on buyer interest.
Dave, Berkshire Museum officials have so far declined to release the sale prices of two works sold privately, including another Rockwell, Shuffleton's Barbershop. While they do have to file financial reports at the State Attorney General's office, should they be more transparent about all of this?
Well, I think just taking a step back on all this, this is part of the museum's kind of recalibration of what it even is going to be, what the Berkshire Museum is even going to be. And I think that the real where they really should be open, they should be open about all of it. They should be transparent about all of it. But I think that where there's a lot of anger, this could have just been a sad story. But instead, it is becoming a story that a lot of people are angry about because the leadership of the museum is not being totally clear and transparent about what even its plans are for the future. And so I think that that's something that they really need to take a look at.
Larry, what do you say about all of this?
Well, the board is going to meet in early June. They're promising that they're going to say more then about what their plans are. They, of course, have other works that they're authorized to sell under their agreement with the AG's office and the Supreme Judicial Court. They'd said that they'd hoped that the first 13, in addition to Shuffleton's, would get them to that $55 million figure. They were under $13 million before the church piece sold. I think that's right. I'm kind of waiting for confirmation on that still. So I think it's clear they will sell some more pieces. But it really is time to rebuild relationships with the community to the degree that they can. And I just think honest, straightforward disclosures are really sort of the fuel for that.
Recently, two Northampton, Massachusetts city councilors expressed concern over how the city is looking at panhandling. They say they're upset panhandlers themselves are not part of a working group on the issue formed by Mayor David Narkowitz. They also say a survey on panhandling available to city residents was flawed. Dave, the Advocate, has reported on this dust-up. What can you tell us about it?
Well, we got into this story. We were a little bit disappointed by some of the daily coverage on it that also didn't include any input from homeless individuals in Northampton. We went out. Our writer Chris Goudreau spoke to a number of them, and Amy LaBelle, someone who was panhandling on Main Street the day that we went out, talked about how there really are some good resources in Northampton for panhandlers, for homeless individuals, but that the city really needs to step up its resources, that it could really be potentially a beacon for other communities who are struggling, some in a kind of ugly way, around the issue of panhandling. For instance, Holyoke has its own panhandling policy that fines panhandlers and people down there looking for a loophole around that. So, Alyssa Klein, Maureen Carney decided they didn't want to take part in that group, and that there should be more transparency, under the open meeting law.
Larry, Dave touched upon what was going on in Holyoke. Worcester had their own issues with an ordinance being declared unconstitutional on panhandling. Do state officials need to offer some guidance to this?
I think the guidance is clear. You cannot ban people from, speaking to other human beings on the streets of a city. This is the umpteenth time this has bubbled up in Northampton. Condolences to you, Dave, to have to keep on this one because it's a tough one. The mayor's working group has merchants involved. They're kind of they're the stalking horse here. It's their grievances that have continued to drive any kind of municipal steps here, because the well-being of downtown business is really important to Northampton. I think, remember when they removed the benches to try to clear people out? It's just been a terrible legacy of false starts and missteps on this. And it's kind of classic Northampton politics, if I can say that. The critics' views, Dave and Krista's story, there was reference to paternalistic pseudo-solutions to deep societal issues. I think just people ought to just get along on the street and accept that this city is a diverse place. The mayor's effort to try to figure out whether there's social welfare things that can be done seems disingenuous. I think the real spur here is merchants not liking the presence of people who might discourage foot traffic into their stores. And I just think it's this weird dance that isn't really going to go anywhere productive.
Moving along quickly, horse racing could be making a return to the Berkshire County town of Great Barrington as soon as next year. The operators of the Suffolk Downs Racetrack in East Boston, where racing will come to an end soon, announced a deal with the owners of the Great Barrington Fairgrounds, which really hasn't been utilized very much over the last 20 years when horse racing was last held there. Larry, there's still some legislative changes that need to be made for this to become reality. What's your take on all of this?
I guess the legislature has to reauthorize racing for what limited racing still hangs on in Massachusetts and New England. I just don't buy this one. The Great Barrington Fairgrounds needs a lot of work, millions of dollars. This guy Chip Tuttle from the Suffolk organization comes and says, we want to invest in Berkshire County. I just think that's not true. This whole business, this agricultural throwback business of horse racing, just seems like it's too fragile to be extended, even at a time when people seem willing to be wagering money. And with the rise of the casinos, I think somebody had the idea, well, let's give it one last shot. If there's a gambling fever in Massachusetts, we want to get a little bite of it. I think this is all going to just not work out at all.
Dave, at least one economic development official I spoke with says this could bring some more visitors to the Berkshires. Will you be putting down $2 in the daily double?
I think, Larry, I agree. It's a little uncomfortable seeing all of this gambling industry bubbling up really everywhere that you look. Sports gambling on a federal level and horse racing, casinos. It doesn't necessarily feel like that's the direction for an economic fix.
And finally, this week in Florence, Massachusetts, they'll be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the village's Memorial Day Parade, which is the longest continuously run such event in the country. It dates back to 1868, just past the Civil War. Dave, how about this small part of Northampton holding this record?
Yeah, the longest, as I understand it, the longest running parade that's held on Memorial Day. So you have to couch it a little bit. But Florence is such a really great and vibrant village. This isn't the only parade they do. Actually, one of my first assignments coming to the area was to cover their holiday parade. It's a real piece of history, and it's a real vibrant part of Northampton. And this parade is definitely a big piece of that.
Larry, your thoughts?
Boy, these things are just great. They're kind of, Dave, perhaps not the most exciting story you've ever covered, but they're wonderful to watch. People don't have enough face time with each other. Parades are, by definition, that very thing. Compared to the panhandler issue, here's the other Northampton. This is, in some ways, the real Northampton, and I just think it's a great thing.
All right, Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle and Dave Eisenstatter of the Valley Advocate, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.